الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون. وقال تعالى وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إخبارا عن ربه تبارك وتعالى وما يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به وبصره الذي يبصر به ويده التي يبطش بها ورجله التي يمشي بها وإن سألني أعطيته ولئن استعاذني لأعيذنه. بارك الله لنا ولكم بالقرآن والسنة. My dear respected elders, ulama, beloved brothers in Islam, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and salutations and peace upon our most beloved and august master Sayyidul Awwaleen wal Akhirin, Ahmad al-Mujtaba Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Mubarak month rekindle in our hearts the true ishq and love of our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear respected elders and friends, there are so many tenets, there are so many articles in our deen. And really, a person from the minbar, he can speak about so many topics. And even regarding a specific topic, it can be so diverse. Sometimes, as an example, salah, there are so many angles just to salah. And we've heard the discussion, the discourses of salah expounded on numerous occasions from the minbar. My dear friends, today I want to focus on a few actions and deeds which pertain in the life to every believer. Every one of us on a daily basis, it pertains to us. And yes, my brothers, the hadith-e Qudsi which I have recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrates what is the reward. Inshallah, we'll terminate with that. And my brothers, on a daily basis, every one of us, we should be taking stock and we should be asking ourselves the simple question that how much have I achieved, you know, with regards to these four basic fundamental deeds which actually comprise of the foundation and the bedrock of our deen. Now my brothers, salah, we've heard this discussion many times. It's not my objective to speak on the significance or the importance of salah. But on a general note, we know that our deen comprises of those observances which are compulsory and mandatory. A person has to fulfill them, they are non-negotiable. And then you have those, my brothers, which are now what are known as nafl, those which are the additional observances. Now just to break it down and to put it into, you know, simple terms, my brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us both. That which is compulsory, a person in every situation and circumstance, a person has to execute practice of it. And then you have the additional. You know, people work, people go for job interviews. Now when a person goes, the interviewer will ask him a few questions. And there'll be a job description. In that will be time. So a person went, he decided, he pursued something. So the job, you know, in the interview we know that it will be, for example, from 9 to say 5. Now my brothers, we know that it goes without saying that the boss will mention it, or maybe not, that look, there are times when we would need you. We would need you beyond your time. So, it, you know, there are times when you need to go beyond the call of duty. Now let's just say a person is working in an industry or whatever. Come Friday afternoon, 1 hour before the closing time, there's a crisis. Now additional hands, additional personnel are required. Now a person needs to phone home, he needs to make sacrifices. Perhaps he had a commitment that way. But now to show his, you know, his dedication to his job, a person will say, no problem, I'm available. We can work through the night. We can work the entire night also if need be. Or somebody's container landed just before closing time. This, my brothers, it won't go unrecorded. And yes, a person will definitely be remunerated for that. And at a time when a person, he needs some special favor, then that will be remembered. So, come few months down the line, now a person, his daughter or son is getting married and he needs the day off, he needs Friday off. The boss will tell him, no problem. Have Friday off, have Saturday off, have Monday also off. Why? Because he remembered the ihsan. That which a person did, he went beyond the call of duty. Now my brothers, we have those observances which are compulsory. We know Salah, Allah Ta'ala has ordained 5 upon us. This, my brothers, is non-negotiable. And my brothers, we know now we are in the summer months. And Fajr is quite early. So for a person to make it for Fajr, a person, we need some discipline in our lives, my brothers. So let's, my brothers, make this mujahada. This is something which Allah Ta'ala has ordained. Our Maker, our Creator has ordained. That before the sun comes up, you got to break your sleep, tired or not, whether you had a sleepless night or not. But to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person has to achieve this. So my brothers, discipline is required. Retire to bed quickly after Isha. Don't pass our time in frivolous activities. Make sure that we have an alarm. And we make that mujahada and that sacrifice. Anyway, that was just a slight diversion. But we know the 5 dailies. But in addition to this, we know that you have the Hajjud, Qiyamul Layl, then you have Ishraq, you have Salah, Salatul Duha at the time of mid-morning, and Awabin after the Maghrib. And at any time besides the prohibited times, a person can read as much as he wishes. Now my brothers, that which a person will recite, or that Salah which a person will read, that, my brothers, it will be a compensation for any shortfall that a person had in the compulsory Salah on the day of Qiyamah. We need to remember this. Now the point, my brothers, that I'm making is that there are a few deeds which on a daily basis we should all be focusing on. And at the end of our day, we need to ask ourselves that how much have I accumulated and amassed for myself? And then on a daily basis, on a weekly, on a monthly, and on an annual basis, so that when a person reaches Allah on the day of Qiyamah, there is some surplus. So Salah, my brothers, 5 daily is there. Now, you know, I mentioned this last week as well. If you tell a person that, look, I want you to read 20 nafil for the day, how does that sound? That already sounds to be like, you know, a momentous task. 20 you're asking me to read. But if we break that down, my brothers, and a person just fits in 2 or 4, you know, if a person can manage Ishraq Salah till, you know, about 10 to 15 minutes after the sun comes up, 2 or 4 rakats, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, take the reward of a complete Hajj and Umrah. If we can't do it, my brothers, situation permitting, in our workplace, in our office, and so on, If we reach there a couple of minutes early, plenty of our workhouses, alhamdulillah, they have a salah facility. 2 or 4 rakats. In our tea break, my brothers, that is, it's your own time. 2 or 4 rakats. And as I always say, my brothers, that with every salah, there should be something additional. We shouldn't just be coming in, fulfilling that which is compulsory upon us and leaving. We need the surplus, my brothers. We need that extra as a compensation on the day of Qiyamah and for additional to make our Jannah bigger. So this is with regards to salah, my brothers. Then, on a daily basis, my brothers, recitation of the Quran. So the ayat which I recited in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that the prime purpose of your life is to worship Allah. Now, just, you know, with regards to the recitation of the Quran, I always use this one point. We know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to recite the Quran at night. And those people who were the most staunch enemies of him, they used to very, very secretly come to listen to the recitation of the Quran. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. People like Abu Jahl, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam referred to him as the Pharaoh of this Ummah. He, Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayyid, Umayyah bin Khalaf. Narrations to this effect are mentioned in Khasais al-Kubra, that they used to come at night to listen to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recite the Quran. Now my brothers, the ulama mentioned that, look, the Quran, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has kept a pull in it. Allah has kept a powerful magnetic effect. Now if those people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who denied the Quran, those who were not willing to accept it to be the word of Allah, if it was pulling them, what about you and I, brothers, who are Muslims, born Muslims, or Muslims for a long time, and we know that this is the word of Allah, and we know that this is our salvation, and we know that this is the constitution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we know that this is the book that is going to lead us to Jannah. What is my attachment to the Quran? My dear respected elders and friends, you know, Ali radiallahu anhu said, if you want to communicate with Allah, if you want to communicate with Allah, then engage in salah. And if you want Allah to speak to you, recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On every single letter, my brothers, a person is infusing his heart with light, with nur. Imagine a person has a container. And every day, my brothers, he keeps on filling it with small nuggets of gold. At the end of one day, at the end of one week, one month, that thing will be steadily full. And at the end of the year, he'll have a great amount. Every time, my brothers, we talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way, we are consolidating our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, my brothers, with regards to the Quran Kareem, Allah Ta'ala has made it one book, one journal. It comprises of 30 ajza. There are people, I have friends, on a daily basis, whatever is the Islamic date, you can be sure that that is the para, that is the juz that they are reading. Some they break the Quran into manzils, into manazil. The Quran has 7 manazil. Every week they make a khatam of the Quran. Whatever be it, my brothers, it should never be that we are not taking out time on a daily basis to open up the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to speak to Him. My brothers, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the 53rd person to accept Islam. He continued climbing the ranks, continued, until he came out number 2 in the Ummah. We know the famous incident, we've heard it on many occasions. It was the Battle of Tabuk, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he made an announcement, you know, for collection. And there were certain things which were required. So Umar radiallahu anhu said that on this occasion, definitely I have to outstrip Abu Bakr. So he came with half his wealth. When he came there, he found that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had brought everything. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked that, Umar, how much have you brought? He said, I brought half. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked Abu Bakr, how much have you brought? He said, everything. And what have you left behind, you know, for those at home? So he said, I have left Abqaytullah wa Rasulah. I have left the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with my family at home. Now Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu continued climbing the ranks till he came out number two in the Ummah. It was the very same Quran, my brothers, which shattered his heart. Imagine he's going with the most, you know, unimaginable, unthinkable intention. Sword in hand, he's going to assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the way he meets another sahabi, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. Where are you off to? I'm going to put an end to the scourge. We've had enough. This person, Muhammad, he has split our ranks. He reviles our gods. You know, he insults our forefathers. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas tells him, go put your own house in order. He goes to the house of his sister, knocks the door. He hears some murmuring. When he enters, my brothers, he insists that I heard something. What is it? They had some of the scrolls and some of those, you know, some of the sheets of the Quran. And he starts beating his sister. No Quran, look at the condition. And after Quran, Umar radiallahu anhu. And he insists that recite to me some portion of the Quran. And they recite the opening verses of Surah Taha. Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa illa tadhkiratan liman yakhsha tanzeelan mimman khalaqa al-ard was-samawati al-ula ar-rahmanu 'ala al-'arshi istawa lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard wa ma baynahuma wa ma tahta ath-thara wa in tajhar bil-qawl fa innahu ya'lamu as-sirra wa akhfa Allahu la ilaha illa hu lahu al-asma'ul husna. At this point his heart couldn't take it anymore. Allah Ta'ala split his heart open and Allah Ta'ala put the nur of Iman in it. What was it, my brothers? Allah's kalam. It is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran Kareem. The same Quran that's here on the shelf, my brothers. How often, my brothers, we come to the masjid, maybe there's 10 minutes, 15 minutes still for salah. Person will sit in the car. And generally, you know, normal tendency nowadays, we put our hands in our pocket. Even if there's nothing to do, we just Google something. My brothers, in that 10 minutes, or 7 minutes, or 8 minutes, we could have pushed one Yasin Sharif. We could have sent it for our father, grandfather, mother. And obviously it's going to benefit you yourself, my brother. So let's build a relationship with the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There must never ever be a day, my brothers, never ever be a day in our life when we do not open the Quran Kareem. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, the third Khalifa. Up to this day, my brothers, some of the museums have copies of the Mus'haf, Mus'haf-e Uthmani. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was, you know, he had an intense love for the recitation of the Quran, to the point that it is recorded that the pages would be tattered because, you know, he recited the Quran so much. And Allah made it such that when he embraced Shahada, then some of the droplets of his blood fell on the Quran. And those are available up to today in certain, I'm not sure in which part of the world, but they have this preserved. So that the droplets of the blood of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu on the Mus'haf. And he used to say, لَوْ طَهُرَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مَا شَبِعْتُمْ مِنْ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ. You know, if you clean your heart, you will never ever be satiated with the kalam of Allah. You will read and read and read and read. You know, like how we love materialism, we love money. There's never making enough. No person will ever say, you know what, it's enough. Now I got enough. There's always the drive for more and more. If we knew the kalam of Allah, my brothers, wallah, no amount would be enough. Every time that we would get an opportunity, we'll squeeze in some Quran. There are people, my brothers, I'm not talking about 12, 1300, 1400 years away. Nor am I talking about people that we never saw. There are people in this very country, in the month of Ramadan, do 60 to 70 khatams of the Quran. Here in South Africa. 60 to 70 khatams of the Quran, which it equates to 2 khatams per day plus. We can all do something, my brothers. Last week, the Jamiat had the AGM. They were speaking about distribution of the Quran Kareem, the Masahib. Ulama from the Jamiat went to some parts of Africa. Certain people came from 100 kilometers away just to come and collect the first copy in their life of the Musaf. Tears, elderly person, his entire life never had a copy of the Quran. This is the first copy of the Musaf that I have. Anyway, my brothers, Salah, Quran, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I always say that with every salah, let's try to build a host of activities. Don't just come, read our salah and then be gone. No, my brothers. Come a little early. Take out some time to make dua. Actually, the last thing I was going to speak about is dua. So it will be salah, Quran tilawat, the remembrance of Allah and dua. And all go hand in hand. Because salah has Quran, it has got dua, and it has the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the dua which a person will make after his fard salah is definitely accepted. Ayyu du'ai asma, which is the dua most hearkened to? The one most accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, duburas salawatil maktubat. Meaning that every time, my brothers, we read a salah. That's why Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu anhu said that ihmalu hawaijakum ala al-maktubat. You got a certain need, there's nothing to worry about. There's a fard salah coming up shortly. Allah has kept so much of power and impetus in the fard salah that whatever dua you will make after, Allah will definitely fulfill your need. Ihmalu hawaijakum ala al-maktubat. Just set your need aside for the next fard salah. My brothers, we read our fard salah and we don't sit for a short while and make dua, we're losing out. Allah Ta'ala is willing to give us. And my brothers, you know, the objective of my entire talk today is for a person to link his heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Start spending these intimate moments talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, this is a mashq every day after every salah. 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Till we feel that, you know, those intimate moments with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will feel your heart linked with Allah. It takes practice. A person has to try every day. But the point I'm making, my brothers, is that if we read our salah and we turned around without asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have thrown away a golden opportunity. Allah is there ready to accept your dua. Sometimes, my brothers, a person is in a situation, you know, that there isn't real time. Then too, I say, you're in the airport, you're traveling midway between Durban and Joburg. Raise your hand. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Jami'ud dua, the concise dua, the all-inclusive dua. Rabbana, atina fid dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina adhaban nar. Ya Allah, grant me all the goodness of the world. Ya Allah, grant me all the goodness of the Akhirah. And Ya Allah, save me from the fire of hell. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that this is Jami'ud Dua. You know, there's a lengthy explanation. There's so many tafsirs that have been tendered for Atina fi dunya hasana. There's no time to go into it. But my brothers, we've spoken about this. Regarding the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a beautiful injunction this is. Let's just use one ayat of the Quran. Whatever command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we fulfill, my brothers, we do it because it is the command of Allah. Not because of some dunyawi benefit. But yes, Allah ta'ala has kept dunyawi benefit for us. My brothers, you know, I tell people that look, just start doing it and get a feeling and then come back to me. Start taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then you tell me how beautiful it is. If Allah in the Quran tells us that I will install in your heart a certain kind of itminan, a certain kind of peace, that despite the rat race, despite all the turbulence, despite all the challenges in life, Allah will install a certain kind of peace, serenity, tranquility. You know, sometimes a person is in a situation, you're in traffic, you're in a queue, and you're rushing. Drop your eyelids. Focus your attention to Allah and start remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calms you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes your affairs easy for you. So these four injunctions, this is the bedrock of our deen, my brothers. A person at the end of every day should be asking himself, how much have I accumulated in this regard? And we'll end off with the hadith al-Qudsi, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. When a person increases in his nawafil, I love him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ. When I love my slave, كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. I become his ears with which he hears. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ. His eyes with which he sees. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا. His hands with which he clasps. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. And his feet with which he walks. Now obviously, my brothers, this is not literal. This has to be figurative. What does it mean? That Allah has become yours. And وَإِن سَأَلَنِي أَعْطَيْتُهُ وَلَإِنِ اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ. If a person has to ask, he becomes مُسْتَجَابُ الدَّعْوَاتِ. وَإِن سَأَلَنِي أَعْطَيْتُهُ. Whatever my slave will ask, I will bestow it to him. And if he seeks protection and refuge from anything, Allah Ta'ala will grant him that. May Allah Ta'ala grant us an increase in our nawafil and our additional observances. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.